Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5. I'd like to look at verses 1 to 20, and so what I'm going to plan to do is just read some scripture along, and we'll make a few comments. This particular passage of scripture is an account about a demoniac, a man that was possessed with demons, and it's recorded three different times in the scriptures, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And two of the writers, Mark and Luke, speaks of one demoniac with whom the Lord dealt. And I won't read all three accounts for the sake of time, but you can go back and read them. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Your Bibles will tell you where the scriptures are. But Matthew mentions this account right here. It talks about two demoniacs. And the only difference between the account in Matthew's scripture that he wrote and Mark and Luke's account is that Mark and Luke, and we're going to look at it in Mark, but Mark and Luke deal with the mercy that the Lord showed this one demoniac right here. And in Matthew's account, when he was talking about two demoniacs, that's what it mentions. It mentions that there was two of them, but Matthew talks about the mercy that God showed this one right here. So from that account of saying that there was two, and then Matthew, Mark, and Luke all spoke of God's mercy to this one. You know what that says to me? That we're all cut out of the same lump. All of us. But God's going to have mercy on whom He'll have mercy. There was two demoniacs. Both of them in the same mess. Same state. And the Lord chose to show mercy to one of them. Why would He do that? Well, according to the Scriptures, He said, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'm going to have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. It's like that song we just sang. Why not me? Why not me? Well, let's look at this scripture here in Mark. Mark chapter 5. Let's look at verses 1 to 5. They came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now this demoniac, here is a man that is possessed with some demons. That's what a demoniac is. But this demoniac right here we're going to find is a beautiful example of all that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save. The Scripture says in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying. This is a faithful saying. Worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, of whom I'm chief, every believer feels that way about himself. Nobody thinks as badly as I do. Nobody is as inconsistent as I am. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. But God's people, they feel like that. Now this demoniac, the Scripture says, was one, he had an unclean spirit, a foul, demonic, lewd spirit. And Matthew's account says that he was exceeding fierce. That is, beyond measure. And nobody could pass, no man could pass by the way that this demoniac was. He, you know, without bodily harm, harassment. So. This demoniac had been dwelling, the Scripture says, we just read, among the tombs. A man without Christ. Man, woman without Christ. This is what they love. Death. They love death. They love darkness. They love evil. Now you know, we wouldn't know that if God didn't tell us that. You know how I just grew up seeing myself? Pretty good guy. Man, I mean, I guess I'm not perfect. I can't think. I told you one time, I was in a church where I had to, you know, I had to go to this little box and tell this man on the other side that what I had done. And I could only think of one sin that I'd ever committed. I broke this boy's toy. I told you that. I broke his toy. That was the only sin I could ever think of that I'd done. And I hid it. I put it under some stuff in the garage. I remember that right now. I remember I remember doing it. I broke it and I stuck it on. I hid it. So therefore it was covered. That sin was covered. Nobody knew. Nobody ever figured it out. But this, the Scripture says, is the condemnation. Light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Man in his best state is altogether vain. Vanity. Now this demoniac, the Scripture says, we just read, while he appeared incapable of bondage. That's what it says, verse 3. At his dwelling among the tombs, no man could bind him. No, not with chains. He had, because of these demons, he couldn't chain him. They just broke him. This man, physically speaking, he couldn't have broken those chains, but the Scripture says that they couldn't. He broke the chains, broke the fetters off. Just, I'm not bound. I'm free. You can't bind me. I am not bound. That man is in the greatest of all bondage. He's in the bondage of sin. His soul is in bondage. And man by nature doesn't even know it. You tell a man without Christ, you're in bondage. Those Pharisees told the Lord Jesus, we're not in bondage to anybody. We're free children. We're children of Abraham. I'm a good guy. I'm free. My will is free. My heart, I can do anything I want to do. You know, a bull can do anything he wants to do within an enclosed area. He can run all over the place, but he can't get out. Not if it's strong. You know, he said, I'm free. I'm free to do anything I want to. Yeah. A sinner can do anything he wants to within the dictates of his rebellion. He can rebel all he wants to. But I can tell you this, he's in bondage. 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 Here was a man who, like all of us, now listen, there's no difference in this man, any of us, as we're born in Adam. The Lord looked from heaven, what'd you see? They're all gone out of the way. There's none good, none righteous. Every thought of the imagination, evil, evil, Somebody said, I don't think I'm thinking evil. The Lord says, that's what we think. That's all we do. Every imagination of our heart, evil. And this poor man, night and day, in the mountains, and tombs, crying, cutting himself, mutilating the body, that listen to this, that was originally made to glorify God. Now, every one of us sitting here has got a body. Every one of us has got a mouth. Every man got a mouth, you got ears. Every one of these bodies were created to glorify God, to speak of the glory of God, to sing the glory of God, praise of God. These ears right here. You know why this ear was made? To hear. Hear the gospel. But you know what? Because of the bondage of our soul, we're satisfied to be in the tombs of rebellion and death and darkness. That's the way this man was. This flesh, this old nature, is not tamed. Or we think it is. And but for the grace of God, it's going to be judged. Now on the outside, this man's case seemed utterly hopeless. No man could tame him, not even himself. Try to corral your thoughts. And tell me if you can keep yourself from thinking evil, thinking nasty, thinking bad. Try to keep yourself. I'll just get my thoughts under control here. I'm not going to think one evil thought anymore. Well, you just did. By just even saying that. Called God a liar? No. This man right here, what he needed a new heart. That old flesh with which he was born, that you were born with, I was born with, you know what we need? We need a new heart. Does a man have to be born again? Absolutely. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Does a man have to be regenerated? And I'll tell you this, every man, every woman regenerated by the grace of God, they know this, in that regeneration, they know something about what they are by nature. They know that. And they know that God's sovereign. They know they couldn't regenerate themselves. Every person regenerated by the grace of God knows that. Except you be born again, born from above. You cannot see the kingdom of God. So here's a man. Here's the way we are. This is that demoniac right there. That's just all of us just like that. We look at him and say, boy, he's pitiful. Yeah, well, we just like him. Look at verse 68. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Now, let me tell you what just happened. Here was this man, and the scripture, the way we read those scriptures, 6, 7, 8, let me tell you what happened first. The Lord Jesus Christ had come to the other side, and he said to the demon, come out of the man. First. And then the man came over. You say, how do you know that? You see the word for in verse 8? It means because. For he said. Because he said. What happened? Here was a man in the tombs cutting himself, demoniac, couldn't bind. And this man, because the Lord had said to the demons, come out of him, thou unclean spirit, then he runs to the Lord, bows down, worships. Now, knowing that the Lord spoke first, now that just, here's what happened. He saw Jesus afar off, ran and worshiped him, cried with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee? Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God, torment me not," because he said unto him, "Come out of him." The Lord spoke first, and then this demoniac came. This demon-possessed man, who was filled with, and we'll see in a minute, a legion of demons, ran and bowed down and listened who's speaking. Now the scripture says he worshiped. It says when he saw Jesus, he ran and worshiped. Now I'm what I'm about to say, I've looked up, and I'm confident, according to the understanding of these words, that I'm saying the right thing. I looked it up again just to make sure. The one that's actually going to be speaking is the demon. The one that bows down and worships. Here's what the word worship means. To show reverence, first of all, and that's not in a way of seeking mercy. But this demon bowed down and worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ, because here's the other definition. To make supplication to one you recognize as superior. That's what the word means. To bow down and to make supplication to one that you know has got you in control. Bow down. He worshiped. This demon had been commanded, in verse 8, by the Lord Jesus Christ to come out of the man. This demon ran up. Mr. Gill says, concerning that word right there where he worshiped, he was filled with horror. He bowed. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, this demon didn't come and bow down to worship him like God's people worship him. That's not what I'm saying. He bowed down because he knew who he was dealing with. He bowed down to make supplication to one that he recognized as superior. This demon, he crouched before, he prostrated himself. Not out of adoration to the Lord. Not out of pleading for mercy. That was not. He didn't ask for that. This is what he wanted. "I want you to spare me from torment for a while. A little while." He knew that he was under the absolute control of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that. He knew that the Lord was going to torment him, and his time was coming. I'll show you that. Look at Matthew 8. I'll read this portion out of that Matthew's account. Matthew 8:29. Well, I should read 28 and 29. "When he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?'" You know what they knew? Our time's coming. There's coming a time that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to cast us into the lake of fire. I know that. Back in Mark 5, the Lord came to this side of the Sea of Galilee, and he saw this demoniac, and he spoke to the demon in the demoniac and said, "Come out of him." And that demoniac ran, bowed down, the devil started speaking. That demon started speaking. the scripture sets forth that this legion of demons appealed to the Lord. They were possessing this man. And they were possessing this man. Now listen to me. They were possessing this man because, number one, they truly wanted to. No doubt about it. But they did so by the absolute permission of the Lord Jesus Christ. They could not have come into this man, this object of God's mercy, and you know what's going to happen. You know the end of the story. You've heard the story before. You know what's going to happen. The Lord's going to cast him out. He's going to give this man a new heart. You know what's going to happen. Well, what does that mean? That means that this man right here, that the Lord obviously is going to save, was an object of God's mercy before the foundation of the world. How long has the Lord known him? He's always known him. How long has the Lord loved him? He's always loved him. Was there ever a time that the Lord didn't love this demoniac based on what the Lord's going to do for him? No, there's never a time he didn't love him. I've loved you with an everlasting love. That's why I drew you. That's why. Well, how did these demons get there? The Lord allowed them to go there. Allowed them to go there? Do you think that Almighty God, who rules in heaven and earth, He does as He will? You think that concerning Him who has all power in heaven and earth, you think these demons just slipped in somewhere without Him knowing it? Whenever Satan came before the Lord concerning Job, and the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job? A just man, one that sheweth evil. One that shuns, hates evil." And Satan said, "Oh, well, I understand that, but I can't get to him. You got a hedge about him. You are the walls and bulwarks." That's what we talked about last Wednesday. "You're the salvation of your people. I'd get to him if I could, but you won't let me. That's the only reason I don't get him, though." Or say, "You can have him. You can't kill him, but you can have him." How did these demons get here? Same way Satan got to Job. God allowed it. Why would the Lord allow that? Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Somebody said, I don't think that sin is going to be to the glory of God. Let me tell you something. I may not be able to figure it all out, but I can tell you this. If sin is included in all things, even the wrath of man is going to praise Him. And the rest the Lord's going to constrain. The Lord will allow whatever He's pleased to do to happen, to bring glory to Himself for the good of His people. How did these demons get there? I can tell you this. The all-powerful Lord Jesus Christ permitted it. How did sin enter the Garden of Eden? How did Satan entice? Did he slip by God? You think God couldn't stop you? Who do you think we're dealing with? This demon comes before the Lord and prostrates himself. And he says, after the Lord had said to him, "Come out of him, I assure thee by God that you torment me not." What have we got to do with you? This is what that demon said. I'm going to give you the literal of that. I want you to swear by the living God that you will not distress us and send us to our own place right now. I want you to swear by God's name. That's what he said, verse 7. I assure thee by God. I want you to give me your word according to God. You're not going to do this. What have we to do with thee? You're going to torment us before our time. The demons know. 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of Man was manifested that he might destroy the works of the flesh. I want you to notice the arrogance of these demons. Telling the Lord Jesus Christ what they want him to do. The Lord says in verses 9 and 10, he asked them, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. He just kept begging and begging and begging, making supplication to the one before whom he knew. He knelt, bowed before. Here's the Lord compelling this demon. You tell me who you are. What is your name? You think the Lord knew his name? The Lord created him. This is one of the fallen angels. The Lord made these demons. These belong to him. They're his. They're under his control. This is not a battle between Satan and the Lord and trying to see who's going to get the upper hand or who'll catch the one. You know, are you kidding? He's God. This is who we're dealing with. And here they are. He's going to, you know, you tell him, he said, what's your name? Religion. Legion. We're many. He's going to make them admit we were cast out at his word. What's your name? We're a legion of demons. You know, boy, what a big difference. I was thinking about this morning. Turn over to Acts 19. You know, here's the Lord. The Lord told them to come out. They're coming out. They you know that. They're coming out. What a difference between him who is all powerful. Look at Acts 19. Verse 13 to 16. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure thee. This is what that demon told me. He said, I adjure you. I want you to give me a word. We adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. There were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, chief among the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them and overcame them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. When the Lord speaks, they're coming out. When a man speaks, nothing happens unless it's the Word of God and God blesses it. I can tell you that. Back in Mark. And he besought, verse 10 to 14, and he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. And there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith, Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. When these demons asked the Lord, send us into the swine. And the Lord gave them leave. He didn't give them leave to send those demons into the swine because he thought, well, I guess that's a good idea. He was doing exactly what the Lord God of heaven had sent him to do. He said, I do always those things that please him, not the demons. If the Lord permitted those demons to go into the swine, it was because it was God's will that they go into swine. He ruleth, remember, in the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth. But I got to thinking about this. Why? And I'm going to just tell you right now, the scripture is silent on the why. So what I'm going to say is I'm going to say as Robert Hawker says, I say this by way of thought. And may the Lord give us understanding. But I'm thinking here. These demons wanted to go into the swine. They asked to. Why? Could it be their hatred of the Lord Jesus Christ, causing them to kill the swine and the people of the community, the country, raise up against the Lord, be mad? Could it? I say these things. Just the Lord sent them into the swine and they drowned. I know that. They entered into those pigs. Those pigs ran violently down the steep place. They drowned. But concerning the reason the Lord Jesus Christ sent them into the swine, was it not, first of all, he had power to do so? Secondly, it was his will that he did so? But here's the third point of that, and this is where I'm mainly going to consider. What happened when the people of the city came out to see what had happened to the swine for themselves? Look at verses 15, 16. And they come to Jesus. Well, okay. They that fed the swine, verse 14, fled, told them in the city, country, they went out to see what was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it, those people that was watching the swine, they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. Here's what happened. All those that was watching the swine, they said, listen, it wasn't our fault. 2,000 swine, that's a lot of pigs. A lot of money. A lot of real estate there. Somebody owned that. Somebody owned those pigs. 2,000 pigs? Wasn't our fault. We were doing what y'all told us to do. We had them under control. And all we know is that this one that they call the Lord Jesus spoke to this guy that has been a thorn in our flesh all this time that we couldn't bind and everything. And he told this one with the demons, he told the demons to come out. And then he ran over and he bowed down and and we heard him speak. We heard him say, send us into the swine. And we heard him say, go in the swine. And the swine ran. And they all went into the Sea of Galilee and they drowned. We're not responsible. Well, that's what they were doing. That's what they came. They told them that came out of the city when they came to see what was done. They said in verse 16, they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. This is what happened. You're not going to make us pay for these, are you? That was all they were concerned about. Here they come and they find this man that nobody could bind, not with chains. And the scripture says concerning this one in verse 15, here's how they found him. He was sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. something is very strange here. Something's going on. Here was a man, and here's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ regenerating a man. Here was a man sitting, resting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And this one that had been among the tombs and crying, cutting himself with stones, now he was clothed. In Luke's account, this Luke 8:27 said this man did wear no clothes. This man was naked. Here's a picture of a man with no righteousness before God, like Adam and Eve. As soon as they rebelled against God, that's what they know. We're naked. We've got to clothe ourselves. We're going to make us some fig leaves and cover ourselves. Here's a man right here. And now he put some clothes on. A picture of the glorious imputation of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that clothes him before God. And here's a man, the Scripture says, in his right mind. I think about that prodigal son. He was over feeding him pigs, and Scripture says, and came to himself. He said, I'm going to go back to my father's house. I'm going to tell him I've sinned against you. I've done it inside of heaven. I'm not worthy. You put the best robe on that boy. Put some shoes on his feet, ring on his hand, kill the fatted calf. Here's a man in his right mind. And these people were afraid. Not with fear or reverence of the Lord, but they were afraid of losing their authority, losing their property, because, this is the reason right here why, or one reason, I think, that the Lord sent those swine in there to expose these people for what they are. This one here. The Scripture sets forth that we are to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Almighty God put those devils in those swine. They ran in there, drowned themselves. And these people came over there, and here was a man that they couldn't even control, and he was sitting in his right mind, talking, clothed, resting at the feet of the Lord, wasn't cutting himself anymore. And they're concerned about their pigs. Concerned about their pigs. Verse 17 says, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. They didn't want the Lord. Not this Lord. Not this one. I don't want a sovereign God. Now, if it's somebody we can deal with and we can order around and we can, you know, we can do what we will, when we will, how we will. If it's that kind of Jesus, I'll take him. But not you. I don't want you. They would rather have the temporal things of this world than the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd rather die in their sins than have the Savior of sinners. Let me ask you this. I'm quoting Scripture. What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What's a man going to give in exchange for his soul? We look at amazement with God who is God. Verse 18, when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now here's the evidence of God's grace. They said to the Lord, those of the city, depart from us. And he was leaving. He was leaving. Here was the one that had been possessed of the devil that wanted to go with him. Wanted to be with him. But the Lord, according to his everlasting covenant of grace, his will and his purpose, did something that nobody would have ever dreamed. this man said that possessed the devil, I want to go with you. And the Lord says, no. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home, go to your friends, and you tell them what I did for you. How great things. You go home and tell them how you used to be in the tombs in darkness and cut yourself. Yeah, no man could bind you. You go tell those of your household that men are totally depraved sinners. That's what I want you to go tell them. I want you to go home and tell them how the Lord hath had compassion on you. That's what I'm going to say right now. He will have mercy and compassion on whomsoever He will. This man right here came to the Lord and asked Him if he could go. And the Lord said, no. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go home and tell Him that I've had mercy on you, compassion on you. And I want you to go to your friends, you tell them this, and here's what he did. Verse 20. He departed and began to publish. Now let me tell you an amazing thing about that word publish. That word means to cry aloud, to preach. God called this man to preach the gospel. And he went back, and the scripture says in verse 20, he departed at the Lord's command. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. If Lord would save a man like that, who knows, he may save me. He may save one like me. May the Lord bless these words to our heart.